Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The NBA is back, and today we are going to recap the 12-game slate that was the first big day in the NBA calendar and talk about all the fantasy basketball repercussions. Who can we add? Who can we drop? Who should we not overreact to? Let's go!
Jordan open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. He's responsible.
Back out to Allen. History clutter. Bang! Curry for three. Wow! Unbelievable. Making it rain in New York.
We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And today, it is the first in-season podcast for the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast and YouTube channel. So welcome to the in-season structure and format. We're going to be trying to do these review podcasts and box score breakdowns every Thursday my time, Wednesday night your time, because often the Wednesday slates are bigger, and there's lots for us to talk about, and there's none bigger than today's set of games, which is the first time we've seen 24 NBA teams play, and there is so much to talk about. Now, again, if you haven't already, go ahead and follow me on Twitter. Where is it? Right here. Follow me on Twitter right here so that you can get my instant reaction straight away. I've already tweeted out who I think are the must add players, who I think some players you can potentially add. We are obviously going to go into a deeper dive today and my thoughts across many, many different players. But if you want the quick hitting instant reaction, follow me on Twitter at BallBoysFantasy. And we've got so much to get through today. So I reckon we're just going to get stuck straight into it. So let's pull up the screen here now. We're following all over on ESPN.com over here on their box scores, and we're going to go through each game of today. We're not going to go through yesterday's game, which was the Lakers and Nuggets and the... who am I thinking of? Why am I blanking? So much has happened today. Warriors and Phoenix. I don't think there was too much to talk about. I did a little bit of a breakdown on my Twitter, so go over to Twitter and check out my thoughts on those sort of players. We will talk about some of the players that I think you maybe need to add later on in the ads and drops sections. So starting with the Atlanta Hawks versus the Charlotte Hornets. Now, the Atlanta Hawks, we're going to start off with straight away the first big discussion point, and that is Jalen Johnson here, who did not start. He came off the bench, but he played 29 minutes, put up 21 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, shot 9 of 13 from the field, which was very, very good to see. He hit a 3. He was 2 out of 4 from the free throw line, so 50% there, but looked really, really good. Now, he is someone that I was very high on drafting late. He was, I think, a top 3 or 4 player in my players to grab off the waiver wire. I believe his upside is very high. I thought there was an outside chance that he started. He didn't in this game, but if we compare him to his other counterparts, the competitors that he's playing against, I guess, for that role, is Sadiq Bey, 29 minutes, DeAndre Hunter, 31 minutes. He had 29 minutes. Now, this game was not a blowout. It was a 6-point loss to the Hawks. So, He was obviously in there when it mattered. He was a plus 8 for the team compared to Bay's negative 12 and Hunter's negative 13. So he was doing some really good things out there for the Hawks. So he, to me, is definitely a must-add player. It will not be this good every day, but he is someone that I do believe has a lot of upside. I've been very big on Jalen Johnson since he was drafted. I believe I had him as like a top 8 or 9 pick in his draft class. It's taken a little while to bear fruit, but this could be the year that he really blows up, and it would not shock me if, again, this 29-minute-a-night role is his to continue taking. So he is definitely someone that I consider to be a must-add player. He will not shoot 9 of 13 from the field, but he is someone that can get you a steal, a block, rebounds. He can give you assists. He will be efficient, like maybe not 9 of 13 efficient, but he will be someone that can shoot maybe 50% from the field. He does have deficiencies when it comes to his free throws, and I don't expect him to hit a three every game, but he is someone that you can't leave on your waiver wire in 10 or 12 team leagues. All leagues, I think he needs to be added now. I've had a lot of people asking about who to drop for him. There are some of you that have some crazy good teams and are dropping crazy good players. So, again, I can't answer everyone's questions on who to drop for him, but he, in a general rule, needs to be rostered in every single league. The rest of the team, we had Clint Capella. We'll talk about the centers. Clint Capella had 29 minutes to Okongwu's 19. Not the best start to the season for Onyeka Okongwu, but do not panic, in my opinion. I think that it was not expected that Okongwu was going to come out and light the world on fire. Don't panic. I don't believe that this is someone that you should be dropping. We knew that he was going to be slower to start the season. He still shot 60% from the field. You know, a couple of assists, 4 rebounds, no defensive stats. It's not the best, but again, compared to Capella's negative 19, Okongwu was plus 14. So there is reason to believe that at some point this season, that swap will be made. Now, it might take some time. Like we said when we were drafting him, he was someone that you need to exercise patience for, but these nights are sometimes ones you have to expect. He works better in a punt points or a punt threes or a punt free throw percentage build, or if you're doing all three, even better. I don't think you should be panicking on Onyeka Okongwu. I think there are going to be some nights where he is... He also had 5 personal fouls as well. So foul trouble was an issue for him in that limited time. So could have potentially played more. So I don't think we should be panicking on Onyeka Okongwu at this stage. So yeah, I think he is not someone that I'd be dropping in any 12-team leagues. Probably not even any 10-team leagues yet. It's just one game. Let's give it some more time. The guards, Trey Young did his thing, 23 points, 9 assists. That's awesome. 14 of 15 from the free throw line is what you drafted Trey Young for. That's all good. DeJounte Murray, a little disappointing. Only the 2 rebounds, no steals, 11 points, shot poorly from the line. And a thing that you're going to hear from me a lot today is do not overreact to shooting percentages, both good and bad. That is always something that we need to remember, that the field goal percentage, the free throw percentage, the 3-point percentage, even though it's not a category, is always going to wildly change a player's value and make their line look a lot better or worse than what it otherwise could potentially be. So again, don't worry about DeJounte Murray. The 33 minutes is what we look at. Would love to see him get some more. I mean, the usage was up there. He took the 2nd most shots behind Trae Young. 3rd was Jalen Johnson, but I think it's okay. Don't worry too much about DeJounte Murray. Sadiq Bey, he was solid. 5 steals. Don't expect that from him every night, but he hit 15 points, hit a 3, 2 for 2 from the free throw line, 50% from the field. Again, don't expect that every game, but the fact that he got up 12 shots, I think is encouraging. He is someone that you don't have to have on your team, but if he is floating around in your waiver wire and you've got some trash you need to drop, he's not the worst player to have. He probably should be on 12-teamers, but he probably is one of your back-end 2 or 3 players. DeAndre Hunter is not someone that you need to have on 12-team leagues. In a 14 or 16-team league, he can be okay. He will be better than this if he stays in the starting lineup and if he continues to get 30 minutes. The usage being down is interesting. 4 of 9, so not even like an inefficient night. He just didn't get the shots. And if he's not getting the shots, that's all he provides, really. So if he's not getting usage, his value is down the toilet. So again, not someone we need to have in 12 teams. Even in a 14-teamer, he's by no means someone that you need to hold on to. If there's someone better, you can go and add someone and drop him. In a 14-teamer, if there's nothing great out there, I'd look to maybe hold and just wait it out. But yeah, it's not a good sign for him. Let's talk about Bogdanovich. 24 minutes for Bogdanovich. Three steals is good. Four assists is okay. But if he's going to be playing 24 minutes a night, that is not going to be enough for him. So I think that he is another player who is in a 12-team league on the droppable side of things. Not by no means a must drop, but he is someone that if you have a hot waiver wire pick up to grab, he's someone I could give permission to drop. Let's talk about the Charlotte Hornets. Charlotte Hornets here got the 6-point win, which it was a bit surprising to me, but they did it. Mark Williams was excellent. 13 points, 15 rebounds. He had three steals, which is good. A block, shot 5 of 6 from the field, 3 of 3 from the free throw line. So a great, great start if you've got any Mark Williams shares. The fact that he played 30 minutes, Nick Richards played 18 minutes. Hopefully a lot of you people weren't worried about that split, but if you were, here's some evidence to say that you shouldn't have been. The 5 of 6 shooting is obviously, he's going to be a good field goal percentage guy. But if that was, 3 of 6 or 4 of 6, the line might look a little bit worse. 15 rebounds is obviously awesome. 3 steals, won't get that every night, but only 1 block. You might get more blocks. So overall, what he put up here today, it's not that unsustainable to sort of expect from him moving forward. So I do like Mark Williams, and he's obviously supported us here. PJ Washington had a really nice game, 12 of 18 shooting. Again, don't expect that to stick, but it's good that he got up the 18 shots, the most on this team. I tweeted out the other day that the more time goes on that there's less news or no news really of Miles Bridges, the more I actually kind of expect him to just kind of rock up after his 10-game suspension. I know he's got a hearing close to that, return of his suspension sort of time. I just feel like if there was going to be more disciplinary acts, they would have at least come out and said something. So this Charlotte Hornets team is always just a bit weird to me because we don't know exactly what's going on with Miles Bridges. I have no idea. But for now, PJ Washington, he was someone that a lot of you should have drafted. If he is, for whatever reason, on your waiver wire, absolutely go and scoop him up. LaMelo Ball, 15, 10, and 6 rebounds. He had a steal. He hit 4 threes. 3 of 4 from the line could be better. Poor shooting, 4 of 15. But you know that when you drafted LaMelo Ball, hopefully you knew he was going to be a poor player in the field goal percentage. And hopefully you are punting that category in a head-to-head league. He will be better than this. But again, the assists, the steals, the threes, the decent rebounds is all what you got him for. So again, nothing to really panic here. Gordon Hayward, let's talk about Gordo. He had 10 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, played 33 minutes, had a steal. Now, he is someone who is perennially injured. He is someone who has not been able to put a healthy season together for many years, but if he's starting and playing 33 minutes, he is someone that probably needs to be added off your waiver wire, and he is on a lot of waiver wires at the moment. So he is definitely someone that you could do worse than having on the back end of your bench. If he gets injured, you just drop him later on. You don't worry about holding him. But he is definitely someone that is worth having on your roster. 33 minutes, and the assists, the rebounds are solid. He's going to score potentially more than this in the future as well. He is someone that is not exciting. He's not super high upside, but he definitely does deserve a spot on 12-teamers. And Terry Rozier kind of just did his thing. Looks way better playing next to LaMelo than being the primary point guard like he was last year a lot of the time with LaMelo out. So he was good. The rookie, Brandon Miller, 25 minutes, hit 5 of 9, which is better than I thought he would do in his debut game. So that's pretty solid. Hit 3 threes. But the reason I was very down on him being drafted was the empty rest of the stat line. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, no steals, no blocks. If that 5 of 9 is more like 4 or 3 of 9, and it's, 1 of 7 or 2 of 7, that line looks closer to sort of like 10-3-2 with 2 threes. It's not really worthwhile. It's not the worst hold because rookies do get better during the season, but I expect that next game he could put up a real dud. So it's okay. It's a decent start for the player, but I think if you want to grab someone hot off the waiver wire, he is someone that by no means needs to be a must hold or anything like that. All right, let's go to the next game, which was my Boston Celtics versus the New York Knicks.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Shaky win, but a dub's a dub. But how about Kristaps Porzingis, the newest member of the... Well, not the newest, actually. Jrue Holiday's the newest, but the second newest member of the Boston Celtics. 30 points, hit 5 threes, 4 block shots, 8 rebounds, no steals, no assists. That's fine. He looked really, really good out there. And was clearly the second best player for the Celtics out on the court tonight, especially in that first half. Started, I think he had 15 points in the first quarter. Looked really at home. Changes the spacing for the Celtics completely out there. Played 38 minutes. We know depth is going to be an issue for the Celtics this season. So fingers crossed he can stay healthy. But as of right now, amazing, amazing. Jason Tatum did his thing. He looked great. Don't need to talk too much about him. Jrue Holiday, 4 of 10, 1 of 5 from the three-point line, 9 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 blocks, no steals. You would have liked to seen some more assists from him, but again, not anything really to do here. Don't need to overreact or anything like that, but it is clear that he's going to see a drop in his usage compared to last season. We hope that those defensive steal numbers and assists come up. I still think that there is potentially opportunity for that to happen, but it is not super encouraging. But he did play 35 minutes, so plenty of time. No need to overreact to this. I called Jaylen Brown my number one bust candidate for category leagues in the preseason, and I don't feel any worse about that call after game one. The biggest thing that I think is a red flag here is 4 from 11 shooting. He had one more shot than Jrue Holiday, took fewer shots than a Kristaps Porzingis. And we know when he is not scoring, he's not providing elite in other areas. He had 5 assists today, but I don't think that that should be expected or the norm for a Jaylen Brown. 1 steal, he can maybe do that every ball game. 6 rebounds and all that's fine. But if he's not scoring 24, 25 points a night, that's going to be a big, big hit to his value. And he was already going higher than he was last season when he did score 26 points a night. So I still feel like Jaylen Brown is in for a rough season. And if you drafted him inside the top 40, top 45, expecting those kind of returns, I think you're going to be disappointed this season. It's only one game, but I was already down on Jaylen Brown because of the addition of Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis. If he is not clearly the second option on this team, which I have my doubts that he will be, you know, it'll be Tatum and Brown head and shoulders above everyone else. I think it's going to be Tatum, and then it's going to be Kristaps and Brown and Jrue sort of slightly just behind those players. I have my concerns about him because his value is so tied up to scoring and points. Didn't hit a 3 either today. Derek White, solid. 4 of 6 shooting, so his usage is going to be low. He's not going to be a big point scorer, but 2 steals, a block, 2 assists, 6 rebounds, a 3. All very solid. I think he's more of around that 100 guy. And the bench for the Celtics, there really is just nothing to see here. Al Horford, if you have him on your team, you can go ahead and drop him. I don't think he's going to be worthwhile. He's kind of a back-end player anyway. He's still going to rest back-to-back, so he's by no means someone you need to hold. Let's talk about the Knicks. Let's start with the center mix because we had Mitchell Robinson play 22 minutes to Hartenstein's 26. Both of them had some foul issues. Robinson with 4, Hartenstein with 5 on the game as well. I think that those two are going to be up and down on night-to-night basis. I wasn't super excited to draft Mitchell Robinson. I don't think I got him in any leagues, but he is someone that you're not drafting for his scoring. 6 rebounds, 2 steals is solid. You'd expect him to, in future, instead of shooting 1 for 4, probably closer to 3 or 4. So if it was 6, 6, and 2 steals, you'd expect him to normally get a block or 2 in there as well. Don't panic, but again, the minutes, Hartenstein pushing up, There's definitely an argument that there's going to be closer to a split minute this year than it was last year between Hartenstein and Robinson, which kind of makes them both really only just back-end kind of players. If we talk about the wing rotation, so the Grimes, the Hart, the DiVincenzo, and the Quickly minutes, all just taking minutes away from each other. I think if you're going to roster any one of them, it's Emmanuel Quickly. In fact, I think he's pretty much a must-add, must-roster player. He's in a lot of leagues, but there are some that he is still floating out and around in. But he played 28 minutes, scored 24 points off the bench. He did shoot 7 of 11 from the field. He won't be that good. So instead of 24 points, he's probably closer to something like 15, 16 points per game. But he is someone that I think is going to continue to, in my opinion, play more minutes, be more important to this team, because outside of, you know, your Brunsons and your Randalls and sometimes RJ Barrett, they don't really have that big scoring punch and a player who can really shoot efficiently from the perimeter as well, because RJ Barrett and Julius Randle aren't what we call efficient shooters. They are willing shooters, but not efficient, whereas Quickley definitely can be. So I think he is the, of that group, the clearest winner. Josh Hart, you didn't roster him for scoring, but 22 minutes, if that is going to be his role, he will be someone that we might have to drop at some point. I don't know if I'm pulling the trigger just yet, but he is definitely someone I would have to consider and take a hard look at your roster. If he is in like sort of the back, you know, the bottom end of your, you know, worst 2 to 3 players, he then needs to be someone to be considered as expendable in that situation, because again, DiVincenzo, I don't think needs to be on rosters. You can drop him. Grimes, I think the same thing. He's droppable in 12-team leagues. He'll hit threes and shoot, but he's not going to do enough else. And if he's only playing mid-20s in minutes, it's not going to be enough, in my opinion. RJ Barrett, 24 points, and poor from the field. Good from the free throw line. Oh, I nearly said poor from the free throw line, but give the man credit. 6 of 7 is solid. 8 of 20 is not horrible either from the field. But again, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 0 blocks. For his point scoring, he's fine. It's encouraging he played 36 minutes. I thought they might go away from him. Early signs suggest not at this stage. And I guess a slightly disappointing for Julius Randle's start, but again, we know what to expect with him in terms of percentages. 5 of 22 from the field, 1 of 5 from the free throw line. Gross if you care about either of those percentages. But 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. He does the counting thing, so points leagues that, you know, you don't care, especially for Yahoo points leagues. ESPN, that does hurt, so not as valuable there. But he could easily go, you know, 14 of 22 the next game. So it'll be a roller coaster all season long for Randle in that department. All right, let's go to the next game. How can I get to the next game? Oh, it's up here. Washington versus Indiana. A bit of a blowout to this game. And we were all very excited for Bilal Coulibaly to start. And he was a popular late round flyer. At least I was saying that you should. He did not start. He played 23 minutes. I think a lot of that was boosted and propped up by garbage time at the end there as well. So he is someone, if you have something better on your waiver wire, he can be cut at this spot. If there's nothing great on your waiver wire, then I don't think it's too bad to hold. I'm usually quite patient with these types of players, but if there is a Jalen Johnson or someone of that kind, he is easily someone you can consider cutting. Even if he was starting and he was playing sort of low 20s in minutes, he probably, being a young rookie, poor percentages, not a high score, it's probably not going to be worth the wait, I don't think, especially if he's coming off the bench. 3 blocks is nice. I don't think we can expect that in that type of minutes moving forward. So I think he is someone you can cut. In his place, they started Denny Avdija, who put up 9 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. 4 of 8 from the field, 1 of 2 from the free throw line. So pretty solid given the fact that he only played 21 minutes. I think if this wasn't such a blowout, but with that said, there will be a lot of blowouts with Washington, I think he might have played more. So he is someone that you could potentially look to add. I would make the switch between Bilal and Denny Avdija if I had that as an option. I do think I prefer Denny at this stage because of that starting nod. And I just think he's probably more ready. But I don't think he's someone we should consider a must add. Troubling signs to me for Daniel Gafford. And I've been on the record saying that if Daniel Gafford plays 30 minutes, he's going to be a top 70, top 60 player. But I always considered the risk with him being this year's Jalen Smith, because I don't think he's very good. And despite having not many centers behind him, they played Mike Muscala 8 minutes, but they also played Danilo Gallinari a lot of minutes at center as well. So he only got the 21 minutes. And I don't think that garbage time would have even got him much higher. Maybe he would have capped out at, you know, 25. He had 5 personal fouls. So again, with him, it's it's something that you can sort of say to this game and go, okay, yes, he is, like, he would have played more if he didn't have foul trouble. But that's something that he's going to be in a lot. He's going to be in foul trouble a lot. So it's not super encouraging for me. You don't do anything silly or anything like that. He might be a kind of player that I think if he gets a good run of games, that maybe you can look to sell high on later and point to this game as a foul trouble issue. But I don't know. One game sample size, but so far I was nervous about him just being a good player and not playing enough minutes because he's not that good of a player. Get one game in, that concern is supported. But again, don't do anything crazy. He's still obviously a hold, in my opinion. I don't know if that's obvious, but I definitely would hold him. He shot 100%, 2 blocks, 5 rebounds. That's still useful. Kyle Kuzma got his shots up efficiently as well. 9 of 18, 50% from the field for 25 points. 2 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals is concerning. You would like to see him get some more rebounds at least. And he is someone that in the past has shown an ability to pass, but none of that today. Jordan Poole, 18 points, 7 of 18 from the line for, 7 of 18 from the field. So not super efficient, but not that 1 for 15 game in the preseason. 5 assists. He didn't hit a single 3. So again, if he goes 2 of 6 from the 3-point line, you're looking at someone who's put up 24 points with 2 threes, 5 assists, a steal, 80% from the free throw line. I think he will be much better moving forward. Hopefully they can keep close within at least a few games this season. And Tyus Jones had a really, really solid showing. 16 points, 6 assists, a steal, a block, shot efficiently, hit 2 threes, all very solid. I think that is a good start for Tyus Jones moving forward. So I think not much to do really there. And again, with the fact that this game was a blowout, there's a few things that are a bit all over the shop here. Tyrese did his thing, 11 assists, that's nice. Miles Turner, again, minutes are all low for these guys. So 23 minutes here, 19 for Toppin. I expect all of these guys would play more in the future, but this game was a bit of a blowout. Benedict Mathurin played his 26 minutes, got to the free throw line 4 times, hit all 4 of those. The encouraging thing, though, 2 steals, 5 assists, 18 points. I think he is someone that needs to be added if he is on your waiver wire, because, again, those 26 minutes are 31, 32. That 18 points can be 22, 23. And if those assists and steals are real, he is someone who could really rocket up ranking. So I think that he is someone that definitely needs to be added if he's out there. Obi Toppin kind of did his thing. I still have concerns about his overall game, but he should be efficient and score a little bit, hit some threes, maybe get some rebounds. So he's fine as a back-end 12-teamer for now. And there really just isn't a lot else to talk about. Buddy Hield played 25 minutes, but again, went 5 of 9 from the field, 4 of 7 from the 3-point line. I don't know if he's going to remain a must roster player moving forward, but for now, obviously, you hold him and you ride this out. He was decent enough here, 14 points, 5 assists, a steal and a block, hit 4 threes. That's the kind of Buddy Hield you would expect. Okay, for now, it's a W for Buddy Hield, but just we'll watch this situation moving forward. All right, let's go to the next game, Houston versus Orlando. Another blowout here. So again, some minutes were lower. Freddie Van Vliet, though, his minutes weren't low. 34 minutes, 14 points, 8 assists, 1 rebound, 1 steal. Obviously, we know what we're getting with him in terms of poor field goal percentage, but a little bit disappointing for him. I think, you know, you would expect or want a bit more in terms of the rebounds and defensive stats, maybe a little bit more scoring, but no free throw attempts is slightly concerning, but I wouldn't panic too much at this stage. Jabari Smith, to me, when I was watching parts of this game, he looked very active to me. It didn't really translate to good fantasy stats, but I wouldn't panic or anything on him just yet. Had the steal, but only 7 points, 5 rebounds and assists. Missed all his threes. I think he'll be better. So I wouldn't panic there. Again, bit of a blowout, so his minutes were lower than you would think. Şengün, 6 assists is nice, you know, efficient from the field. Of all their starters, I think he probably looked the best. Him and Fred VanVleet probably looked the best in terms of, bringing good on-court presence and good production. So I think of those starters, those two are probably the safest in terms of fantasy value. Off the bench, not really too much to see here. Amen Thompson, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, no defensive stats, which is concerning. and he was a negative 34 when he was on the line. Now, obviously, today was a good example to remember that rookies will be rookies, and they often have highs and lows, lots of lows at the start of the season. So we're going to talk about some very popular rookies later. Remember, they will be bad at the start of the season, but I still think you need to be patient. So I don't think I'd be dropping Amen Thompson after one bad game, although his pathways to minutes is harder than a lot of other guys. So I don't think he's a must-hold guy. If there's a really, like, if there's Jalen Johnson and Amen's your worst player, go and get Jalen and drop Amen. But if it's just kind of trash on your waiver, this is where I hold and I lean more on the side of upside and just wait things out a little bit more, okay? Because I always think if... Don't drop a player that you think you might regret dropping for someone who's just okay at this stage. This is where I will want to be a bit more patient, unless there's one of those clear must-add guys on your waiver wire. Orlando Magic were really good, and Franz Wagner is really good. Scored 19 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. You know, hit 3 threes, all 6 of his free throws. Again, the line doesn't look super eye-catching, but I think he's going to be really good this season. I really like some of the 3-point shots he made off the dribble today. I think that's going to be a way that he's going to get better. My thing for Franz being an improver this season was getting more attempts at the free throw line and hitting more threes. And we saw that today. 6 of 6 from the free throw line, 3 of 7 from the 3-point line. So 7 attempts for him from 3 is really encouraging. I think that that is actually underrated. And again, the line doesn't look amazing, but in 27 minutes, I think that he is someone that has a chance to really break out this season. Paolo was quiet in terms of his usage, only 6 field goal attempts. I don't think we should expect that moving forward, but 6 of 7 from the free throw line, that's something to monitor. If he can fix both of his percentages, then he is a massive riser in fantasy value. I don't think that I would expect the free throws to be suddenly fixed, but again, he was like a 70% guy. If that can be like 78, 79, then that's closer to sort of bang on average. And that's a huge shift in his value. I'm more confident in his field goal percentage being better because of his size and frame and ability to get to the rim. So again, only 6 field goal attempts is quite curious when you've got someone like Jalen Suggs taking 12. I think that the Orlando Magic, I know they won today, and by a fair bit, they'll probably look to correct that moving forward. But encouraging signs from the percentages for Paolo. Wendell Carter was solid-ish, actually, kind of bad. 4 from 10 from the field is not what we want to see. Didn't hit a single 3, but 2 steals, 8 rebounds. Look, it's not gonna blow you away, but I do think he is someone that's gonna be solid. Markel Fultz, 3 steals, only 2 assists. This game, they didn't really need to playmaker, and there's not many eye-catching numbers here. The Houston Rockets were just really bad, to be honest. So again, in terms of value to be gained, I don't think there's too much. One we need to talk about, though, is Jalen Suggs. He did start, played 21 minutes. I don't think if there's anyone hot to grab off your waiver wire, Suggs is someone that you don't have to hold on to. But again, I think I'm personally holding on to him a little bit more. He looked confident with his shot. Attempting 7 threes for him is an encouraging sign. He will be someone who hurts your field goal percentage. There's no way around that. But again, he took the equal most amount of shots in this game between Cole Anthony, Franz Wagner, and himself. No defensive stats or steals or assists today. That will be different. That will change. So whilst the line is bad, it's not a good performance. There are signs, I think, that you could take out of this that are encouraging. 21 minutes, again, blowout in this game. That could easily be 26, 27 minutes. And I think in certain teams that can be useful. The only other really player that I want to talk about here was Cole Anthony, who in 24 minutes scored 20 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, no defensive stats, but he did also, again, shoot 8 from 12 from the field. Unrealistic to expect that from him, but he is someone who can give you some assists, he can score a little bit, he can shoot threes, he's going to be efficient from the free throw line. So he does have a place in 12-teamers, in my opinion. So he is someone that, again, if you can use some points, threes, assists, and live with the poor field goal percentage, no real defensive stats either, he is someone that you could definitely consider adding in certain scenarios if he fits what you need. The rest of the team, I'm not too concerned about. Jonathan Isaac, I'm not getting excited. You're not sucking me in, Jono. All right, let's go to Cleveland, who just narrowly beat the Brooklyn Nets by 1 point. And I'll start with my boy here, Evan Mobley. It's disappointing. It's not what we wanted the start of the season to look like, but 10 points, 6 rebounds, assists, and 2 blocks. I would have liked more, definitely. I would have liked the rebounds to be higher, but Max Strus just came in and said, give me all the rebounds, boys. Don't think we can expect that moving forward. I think that's going to be better. Don't panic. The 2 blocks is good. He didn't even shoot too poorly. I expect that to be better than 5 of 11. What I want to see, though, is the field goal attempts go up. And that is the slightly concerning thing to me when you're shooting one more shot than Isaac Okoro. You're shooting 6 fewer attempts than someone like Max Strus. You didn't take a single free throw. I want to see that go up a bit higher. And I think it will eventually. Again, it's a one-game sample size, but so far, not the great start that we want for Evan Mobley. Donovan Mitchell did his thing. 4 steals is always encouraging. His thing the last couple of seasons has been the steal numbers have been up at like 1.5 per game, which weren't there the previous few seasons, but so far so good. So far so good on that front, and took the highest amount of shots on this team. Max Strus, let's talk about him. 39 minutes is the big thing that we should look at, but 27 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a block. He hit 7 threes, went 7 of 13 from 3-point line. He is someone that I'm not going to label a must-add player despite this incredible performance. It's obviously a great, great game. I don't think that this is realistic for us to expect. He shot over 50% from the field, over 50% from 3. That is just not going to continue. And I really have a lot of doubts he's going to get 12 rebounds every night. So, yes, he is someone that you can sure grab. And if you want some threes, go ahead. At least he's taking a lot of shots. That's fine. He can be a 3-point guy if you need. But I don't think he is going to be someone that I need to consider a must-add player as what I typically cut off as like a top 100 player. I don't think that Strus is going to be that, but great game. Absolutely not taking anything away from him. Caris LeVert played 31 minutes, 11 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, a steal, and a block. Murdered your field goal percentage though, but you kind of, you know, need to expect that with a player like LeVert. He's fine to have in certain teams if you need those popcorn stats. Garland kind of just did his thing. Yeah, so not too much to talk about there. Brooklyn Nets. Let's talk. Should we talk? Let's talk the starters first. So, Claxton, he 3 blocks, 4 assists, 7 rebounds, all good. 3 of 10 from the field, not so good. Again, no need to panic. That's not going to be happening. He's more of a 60% player. So, if that, again, is 6 out of 10, you whack on another 6 points. He goes 13, 7, 4, and 3 blocks. Great. You're looking awesome. So, nothing to worry about for Claxton. Bridges, again, really solid. 3 steals is nice. If he can keep up those defensive stats, he can prove me wrong as someone who I said is a bit of a bust where he was being drafted in the second round. We'll have to wait and see on that. Efficient, love the free throw attempts. That's good. Cam Johnson kind of just did his thing. 2 steals. 1 of 4 from 3. So, again, he might hit another 3 in other games. That's all fine. Ben Simmons. Let's talk Benny Simmons. 23 minutes is the thing that catches my eye the most here. Only had the 2 fouls, but the line itself is not bad, right? 10 rebounds, 9 assists, a block. Again, you never drafted him for threes. You never drafted him for points or anything like that. 2 of 6 from the field is not ideal. But if he makes one more shot and goes 50%, 6, 10, and 9, 50% field goal, you'd expect him to get some steals. I don't think it's anything to worry about, but I am watching those minutes because that is not enough for him to be someone who's super valuable. He probably needs closer to 28, 29 minutes per night. And same with Spencer Dinwiddie. He is someone that I think, again, if you had one of those hot waiver wire guys, Jalen Johnson, he's always the guy, Derek Lively, or one of those types on your waiver wire, I think Spencer Dinwiddie is someone you could drop to grab one of those guys. He's not someone I think I would drop just yet on, you know, grabbing someone who I don't see having high upside or a sustained value. Like, I don't know if I'd drop Spencer Dinwiddie to get a Max Strus. I don't think I would do that just yet, but 24 minutes, 3 shot attempts for Dinwiddie. It's concerning. It absolutely is concerning. And he's not a particularly strong fantasy player anyway with his poor efficiency, low defensive stats, no rebounds. And Ben Simmons being here, being the primary playmaker for this team, definitely does hurt him. Because he came over to Brooklyn last year and started putting up assists for fun. But that was with Ben Simmons out. So he is definitely on thin ice. Think I'd give him another game. But again, if you want to make a waiver wire ad, he is someone that I would probably consider potentially expendable depending on what you have on your team. Let's talk Cam Thomas. 36 points. He had the most shot attempts of the entire team today. 13 of 21. 8 of 11. The fact that he did this in game one of the NBA season when your team is completely healthy, it's not like he was suddenly thrown into a starting role. He played 25 minutes. Is he a must-add player? I don't think I would label him must-add. But he definitely is someone that if you want scoring, you go and add him. I've gone and added him already in a 14-team league where I'm looking for scoring and I'm punting the field goal percentage. I've added him in a league like that. And I am not a big Cam Thomas fan, but when you are taking over 10 field goal attempts more than the next highest player on your team, I think that we need to pay attention to that. And again, the free throw attempts, he went 8 of 11, which again is not fantastic, but he's normally a better free throw percentage guy and he is good at getting to the line. The rest of the game is not going to be there. He's never going to be a guy that gets steals or blocks or rebounds or even gets many assists either. But scoring, getting to the free throw line, hitting threes is valuable. It's kind of like, you know, the Benedict Mathurin kind of build, and that has use in standard leagues. So again, I think he's not quite must add because he doesn't fit every team, but he is someone that definitely you can go and have a look at as someone who, you know, probably should be on 12-team rosters. It just might not necessarily need to be your team. So we'll keep an eye on that and how the minutes go between Simmons, Dinwiddie, and Cam Thomas and the shot attempts amongst those players as well. Very interesting to see just how many shots he got in this team. All right, let's go to Detroit and Miami. Close game here. Miami wins by 1 point. Let's start with the rookie, Asar Thompson. How about 5 blocks on your debut for essentially your small forward shooting guard? Murdered your field goal, but again, I hope you listened, but we knew that he was going to be bad at both field goals, free throws, and he wasn't going to score. But 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 blocks. I would expect the steals to start coming as well. He hit a 3. So again, he's going to be good if you can absorb that poor efficiency from the field and the free throw line. The free throw line, I don't expect to be on high attempts. So there's at least that going for him. But again, yeah, the field goal percentage is going to be rough. It might improve as the season goes on. And he, to me, is still a must roster player. Isaiah Stewart had a solid game. 14 points, 14 rebounds, 2 assists, no steals or blocks there. Shot efficiently, hit 2 threes. Look, he's a guy you can have. I have him again in that same 14-team league. And obviously, I'm holding on to him. I'm encouraged. But it could very easily go away. What we do like, though, is 35 minutes and the 14 boards, whilst Durant also had his 14 boards as well, are very encouraging. Speaking of Jalen Durant, this man's a monster. He's going to be really good, guys. I've said this so many times, he is a freaking teenager. 17 points, 14 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 blocks, 8 of 11 from the field. Yes, he hit 1 of 3 from the free throw line. That's always going to be his negative. But this guy's good, man. He is good. And if you got him in the 80s or 90s, you could have a real steal on your hands. I'm very, very high on Jalen Duren. 32 minutes. He had 4 fouls. But just really, really, really good. I think he's going to be a force this season. And in Dynasty, I'm really excited for what he can do. Cade Cunningham, speaking of being a force, 30 points, 9 assists, a steal, a block. Was efficient, 13 of 27 from the field, 4 of 9 from the three-point line. I would have liked to see him get to the free throw line a little bit more. Well, he didn't get there at all. So this can be even better, really. It's not unrealistic to expect him to play this well, I think, on a regular basis. Like, it's not coming from crazy out-of-this-world shooting. It's, you know, 36 minutes. The usage is going to be there. 27 shots. And the next highest was Killian Hayes at 12 shots. His usage is going to be sky high this season, and he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. And there was some troubling signs in the preseason, but I don't think I ever really bought it. Was happy. I had him as a second round player. I was happy to draft him in the third, and it's a good start for that. So, yep, good start for Cade Cunningham. On the bench, not too much to talk about except for Jaden Ivey. 17 minutes. That is very concerning. 17 minutes and you didn't even have Bojan Bogdanovic. Like, Killian Hayes played 31. That's very, very concerning. I think you would have to consider him a droppable player. I love to give these guys more time because we saw him go really well at the end of last season. But again, it was without Cade Cunningham. And if they're going to play Killian Hayes ahead of him and Bojan Bogdanovic is not even there, he has his issues when it comes to field goal percentage and free throw percentage. He's not a great steals and blocks guy. I think he's someone you could consider dropping. I think he's going to be better than this. Let me be clear. I think he's going to be better than what these stats suggest. And I don't think he stays at 17 minutes, but we need him at like 30 plus minutes per night. And if this is the first indication that we have, it's more likely than not he's going to be like a mid-20s guy. And to me, for Jaden Ivey, that is not enough. So he is definitely someone that you could consider dropping. I like to give these guys more time, but again, if you've got someone you want to add, I think it is okay to move on from him if you're picking up someone nice. Let's talk about the Miami Heat and Kevin Love, 13 points, 10 rebounds. Could be a sneaky guy if you need those boards late. Played 28 minutes. So that is something to monitor. I don't think he's for everyone, but again, 28 minutes for Kevin Love. He can do some damage in that time, especially, again, for those of you that need rebounds. Let's talk about Kyle Lowry, who stunk it up. He absolutely stunk it up. One field goal attempt. He shot the ball once. He missed it. So he had no points. Two assists, two steals, two rebounds, a block. That's not going to cut the mustard. So yes, you can move on from Kyle Lowry if he's on your team, even probably in the 14-team league. I think you don't have to roster him. Jimmy Butler had 19 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 7 of 9 from the free throw line, as he does, 33% from the field. So he could even have had a better game. So that is just Jimmy being Jimmy. And Bam Adebayo, 32 minutes, 22, 8, and 3 assists, 2 blocks, no steals. I wonder how long Kyle Lowry stays in that starting group if that's the way he's going to play. And if someone like a Caleb Martin, who only played 20 minutes, he didn't light the world on fire either. But if Kyle Lowry's literally providing nothing for you at his age and lack of defense, I'd have to think that his days as a starter aren't too long. And I think that that can have a positive effect on someone like a Bam in terms of his assist numbers. No one cleared more than 4 assists on this team for the game, which is interesting. Obviously you can drop him. Tyler Hero, 16 points, 3 steals, 3 assists, 7 of 24. So again, poor shooting, but he can definitely be better. Don't count on the steals. Yes, so all that is good. Disappointing for Caleb Martin. So if you have him in a 14-team league draft, 20 minutes is not going to cut it. So yes, you can drop him in a 14-team league to make another add. Thomas Bryant, disappointing that he got the backup minutes over in Orlando Robinson. I think that that could flip at some point this season, but for my 30-team league, that is not what we wanted to see. But yes, that was the Miami Heat. So yeah, a bunch of weird stuff going on in that game, in my opinion. Both those teams we need to monitor moving forward. Let's go to Toronto, continue the close games. Let's talk about Anthony Edwards. Was incredible. 26 points, 14 rebounds. He was inefficient, 8 of 27 from the line. The good news is, though, he hit 6 out of 6 free throws. So the thing for him has always been the efficiency. So let's monitor the free throws, and obviously the field goal percentage is poor. He did hit 4 threes. No defensive stats, which he was really good at getting last season. He was by far the best player on this team. He was the only one not in the negatives in the plus minus on the starters. So probably did all he can. You would like to see more, yeah, defensive stats. And again, that field goal percentage will be better on some nights, but it is something that's going to be dictating basically how he does in a nine-category setting. So hopefully you're either having him in a team where you're punting the field goal percentage, or he's in a punt free throw team where your team is already really good at field goal percentage and you don't. It's not going to really, really hurt you a lot. Towns did his thing. 19 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, and 4 blocks. Both he and Gobert had 4 blocks, so that's encouraging. Gobert's blocks really dried up last season, as did Towns. So off to a good start here. Again, one game sample size, so let's just monitor this situation. Gobert had a good game as well. 2 steals, 4 blocks, 13 rebounds, 15 points, 50% from the field. Great start for him. The Raptors were very up and down and very erratic when watching this game. So I think a lot of those rebounds and blocks and things like that maybe weren't the most, hardest earned defensive stats in the world. But obviously a good start moving forward nonetheless. Naz Reid, 24 minutes with him. So they ran a 9-man rotation with the 9th man, Troy Brown, only playing 5 minutes. So if that's going to be a regular thing, then Naz Reid is definitely someone that in a 14-team league you should probably have on your team. He's definitely an add in that kind of a format. In a 12-team league, you don't have to have him, but he's definitely at least on your watch list. I don't know if I believe that they're going to run that tight of a rotation every night. Sometimes these weird things happen on opening night, but definitely interesting to watch that rotation. And remember, Jaden McDaniels was not in this team, or not playing tonight. So if you add him in, then you've got 30 minutes to kind of give to him. And it probably does take away, Kyle Anderson's minutes, Naz Reid's minutes, and things like that. So I don't think he's a 12-team must add. You could have a look at him, but just remember that Jaden McDaniels wasn't playing tonight. On the Toronto Raptors side, my guy, and I say my guy ironically because I poo-pooed him a few times, but he is on a few of my fantasy teams. Scotty Barnes brought the defensive stats. 5 blocks, 2 steals, 8 rebounds, 5 assists is all excellent. He tore apart your percentages though. 6 of 16 from the field, 4 of 6 from the free throw line. He had 4 turnovers, so there's some good and bad in there. I like how active he was on the defensive side of the court. And we did see a lot of that in the preseason, him racking up some more defensive stats. So if he can start doing that more, then there is a lot of upside and hope for him. And if he can get to like 1.2 steals, 1.1 block, 1 block per game, then that is a big key for his value. Because I do expect that field goal percentage to be better. Again, played fairly erratically at times watching a bit of this game. OG Anunoby was good. 20 points, 2 steals, 3 blocks, 6 rebounds, an assist, hit 4 threes. To me, he was the best player for the Raptors in today's game pretty comfortably, just in terms of how he impacted the floor. They just looked a lot better with him out there and his shooting ability especially. Schroeder had a great game, so if you drafted him late, that's a really, really good start. 22 points, 7 assists. I don't expect him to be going 4 of 8 from the 3-point line a lot, and yeah, so the 22 points, I think, is maybe a bit of fool's gold, but definitely encouraging to see him play as well as he did. The 7 assists is nice, so definitely a must-add player if he's somewhere on your waiver wire. Pascal Siakam, a little bit disappointing, 15, 7, and 6. If you took him in the top 30, you'd hope for a bit more than that. I think this is more along the lines of what I expected from Pascal Siakam. He did shoot 5 of 17 from the field, so he will be better than that in terms of an efficiency point of view, but did hit 3 or 5 threes, which again, you could say that comes down. So all in all, okay whilst being inefficient. But again, nothing to really suggest to me that he's worth that top 30 pick that a lot of people spent on him. And then the bench for the Raptors is whole or nothing. 27 minutes for Gary Trent Jr. I don't think he's worth it, man. A steal, a block, he hit a 3. He'll shoot better. So 2 of 8 from the field and 1 of 4 from the line. So if he hits one more 3, it's 8-2 and a steal with 2 threes. I just don't think it's good enough. I really don't think it's good enough. I think that, again, with threes being so abundant and so streamable, steals being the same, and they're his two biggest things, I don't really think Gary Trent is worth it. He's not someone you have to drop because the minutes were still decent enough at 27 and maybe gets more usage moving forward. But I don't think he's someone that you have to absolutely hold above other players. He is expendable to me. And again, there's not really much else. I'm not too excited about Precious Achiuwa getting 24 minutes and going 8-8 with nothing else. Nothing really else to see here. Jakob Poeltl, we'll talk about him. 7 points, 11 rebounds, an assist, a steal, a block. Hit all his field goal attempts and missed 3 out of his 4 free throws. That's nearly as typical as a Jakob Poeltl line as you'll see, but he is still someone in a punt free throw percentage build I think is very, very valuable. All right, we are still getting... There's a lot of games to talk about here, guys. Sorry if this is a long one, but we've got lots to cover here. OKC and Chicago. OKC... Chet Holmgren, let's talk about him first. 25 minutes for him, had 3 fouls. I didn't watch this game, so I don't know if those fouls came early and limited his time. Someone drop in the comments section below if you did watch this game and when those fouls occurred, and if that was a limiting factor for him only playing 25 compared to the other starters. I'd have to think it was. 11 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and no blocks. He was efficient, so... Again, don't panic. It could be a buy low mark because people don't like him because he's skinny. But again, I wouldn't panic too much. Jalen Williams did his thing. 16 points on efficient shooting, 5 of 11, hit 2 threes, all 4 of his free throws, got a steal, solid. Kind of what I expected from him. Shea picked up right where he left off. One thing I do want to point out here, though, 5 of 5 from the free throw lines. The efficiency is fine. It's the 5 attempts that I'm drawing my attention to. He was all world last season when it came to free throws, getting 11 attempts per game and hitting, you know, 90% of them. And if even that just comes down a little bit, it's a huge change to his value. He obviously played amazing here, but I am just monitoring those free throw attempts. But 66% from the field, 12 of 18, that's amazing. 2 blocks for your guard. Really, really good. Giddy was nice as well. Shot efficiently, 50%, hit 2 threes, no free throws, which is probably a good thing for him. 6 rebounds, 6 assists, no defensive stats, but he's not really going to provide much of that for you. Lou Dort, nothing really to see here. The 2 steals and a block, I wouldn't pay too much attention to. He's not someone we need to worry about in 12-team leagues. For deeper leagues, I'm watching Cason Wallace. I like what he could potentially do. He hit 5 of 5 from the field today, 3 of 3 from the three-point line, and he is someone that I've believe could eventually take over Lou Dort's position, and they go with like a three-guard lineup, but because you've got Josh Giddey, who's 6'8", and you know Wallace is a good defender, he can guard up, Shea's long and big as well, that they can do those kind of things. I don't know how long it's going to take to happen. It might not happen this season, but he is someone, especially in a deeper format, I would be keeping an eye on him. I picked him up before the start of the season in the Ball Boys Championship 30 League. And so far, I like what I've seen. I think that has the potential for him to get some steals and assists. And if he can shoot efficient like this, again, it's not going to be this good, but if he can be efficient enough, it's something just to monitor in deeper leagues. Over on the Chicago Bulls side, Patrick Williams, you can drop him. I think there's enough waiver wire guys out there that if they're out there, you can go and grab him. I like Tim as a fly because of his role, and he's a young player that has upside. And I still kind of believe that. He played 30 minutes, but he just, I don't know, man. It just doesn't do it, really. Like 8 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. Look, there's something there. If he hits another 3, 11, 4, 2 steals, it's not horrible. So he's, again, not someone you have to drop, but is expendable if you need to grab someone hot off the waiver wire. So, yes. Nikola Vucevic, huh? 9 rebounds. 8 field goal attempts. That's interesting. I remember someone being a bit low on him in the preseason. Now, I am not taking a victory lap. Let's get this straight. But, obviously, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 4 assists. Great. It's a great line. But, Vooch is not going to be giving you 3 steals and 2 blocks every night. I feel pretty confident with that. My biggest thing and the only thing that I changed from him last season was the efficiency from the field and the field goal attempts. Now, he went 5 of 8 from the line, from the field. It's efficient, it's good, but it's low volume. He was the lowest out of all the starters. LaVine, White, DeRozan, Patrick Williams all put up more shots than he did. So, if you are in a league and someone thinks that he's a top 30, top 40 player, I mean, you're speaking to me, I've thought this the entire time, but I still think that he's someone you can maybe sell high on. say the steals, the blocks, oh, he's super efficient. I think that nothing here changes my mind on Vucevic. I think that he is someone that is overrated in fantasy basketball because he played 82 games last season. Kobe White, we need to talk about him. He is a must-add player, in my opinion, especially if you're a team that is punting the field goals or you can deal with the field goals. 14 field goal attempts, got up 7 threes, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, 4 assists. He will not give you defensive stats. He will probably not rebound all that well, and he will be poor from the field. But a starting point guard that's playing 31 minutes, getting up that many shots on a team next to DeRozan and LaVine needs to be added, in my opinion, and you figure out the rest later. The rest of this team, LaVine kind of did his thing, DeRozan did his thing. You'd hope he hits his free throws a bit better, but there's not too much else to talk about with this squad. Yeah, 2 steals from Caruso in 20 minutes. Super exciting. Everyone else is kind of not 12-team relevant. Let's keep it going over to New Orleans and Memphis. And Zion did Zion things, 23 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, no defensive stats. We had a little bit of hope that defensive stats were coming after the preseason. Again, one sample size, but he did Zion things, didn't get hurt, which is a good thing. Brandon Ingram did Brandon Ingram things, plus he got 2 steals, which you don't always see. So a solid game for him. Herb Jones, 38 minutes, extremely encouraging. A steal, a block, 3 assists, 8 rebounds. Definitely someone you can have on your roster as a 12-team league guy. I'm encouraged by Jonas Valanciunas playing 29 minutes. That's, to me, is the biggest thing to look at. Now, Larry Nance was questionable, I think, coming into this game. He had a few injury concerns. So I'm going to still continue to monitor the situation where it comes to those 2 splitting minutes and whether or not it's just Nance kind of coming back into the NBA and getting himself into shape or, you know, easing himself back in after having a bit of an injury. But 29 minutes for Valanciunas to Nance's 15 is encouraging. And I was down on Valanciunas because of the low minutes that he had compared to Nance when Zion was healthy. Obviously, Zion was healthy in this game, and Valanciunas nearly played 30 minutes, and 12 and 12 is obviously useful with good efficiency from both the field and the free throw line. It's classic Jonas Valanciunas stats there, but so far, so good. Let's monitor and see if Nance's minutes move up. If they do, it could be potentially a sell high if we can get a couple of games banked in with Jonas Valanciunas playing those higher minutes. CJ played 37 minutes, 24 points, 6 assists, 2 steals, 4 rebounds. Efficient, hit both his free throws, 6 threes. Great game from CJ. Maybe a bit of a sell-high moment. I don't know if many people are buying after one game, but yeah, really good game for him. On the Memphis Grizzlies side, poor game from Jaren Jackson Jr., 2 of 9 from the field. I'm not as worried about the field goal percentage, but more the 9 field goal attempts. He played 36 minutes though. So that to me is the super encouraging thing because he was like a top 12 player in 30 minutes a night last year. So him playing 36 minutes, despite also having 5 fouls in a weird way is encouraging. I don't think we should overreact to him only having 8 points. He had 5 blocks, 3 assists, missed all 5 of his threes as well. I do think he'll be better, and I do think they will probably find a way to get him more involved in the offense, being the fact that they lost this game. Xavier Tillman, must roster player. I was on the side of Santi Aldama as being the priority pickup, but obviously he got injured before they even played a game, so he got 34 minutes in this game and looked amazing. He was really, really good. We've never doubted his ability to put up good stats when he plays. He's a great steals guy for a big. He's efficient. I don't think he's going to get 16 field goal attempts most game. In fact, I could almost guarantee it. In fact, do I still have... What's this?
Guarantee!
Yeah, we'll throw one of these ones on there. I guarantee he will not average 16 field goal attempts. So he's a must-add player, must-roster player in every league, but temper your expectations that I don't think it's going to be this good moving forward. Santi Aldama was out, and again, the field goal attempts I don't think are going to be that good, but great start, great player to have, must roster. Zaire Williams is not. He played 29 minutes, and this is just kind of what he does. Even if he plays 30 minutes a night, I don't necessarily think he is a must-add guy. He's kind of like a DeAndre Hunter-type player, where he scores and does nothing else. So he's not someone I think we really need to worry about. Desmond Bane, amazing game. I was lower on Bane. I still think he's going to be great when Jar is going to be out. But Jar will be coming back. So this is great for him at the start. And Marcus Smart did his thing. You'd want more assists from him, but again, 17-3 with two steals, hit two threes, solid field goal percentage, which is nice for him. Missed three free throws. I'd hope he does better than that in the future. The rest of this team, there's not a whole lot to talk about here. You know, David Roddy, Zaire Williams, Luke Kennard, none of those guys need to be on 12-team leagues. Let's keep it rolling, guys. This is going to be a monster podcast. What game are we up to next? We're up to Sacramento and Utah. Domantas Sabonis, 22-12, 5, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 8 of 14 from the field. Great, great start. Excellent, excellent game. And how about my boy, and I definitely say that loosely because he's not my boy, Harrison Barnes, 33 points, 11 of 16 from the field, 5 of 7 from the three-point line, a monster performance. And it would not shock me if tomorrow he is the most added player off the waiver wire. Should you? No. don't do it. Look, he is perfectly capable of putting up about the top 150th ranked player this season. And this is obviously a great game. He will not shoot this much. He will not shoot this well. And even in a game where he played solid, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal, it's just not going to get it done. So you might look at this line, and if you're new to fantasy basketball, you go, Harrison Barnes, let's go and get him. Don't fall into the trap. Do not fall into the trap of Harrison Barnes. In a deeper league, he's fine. He's going to play minutes. So in a 14, 16 team league, he's fine to have. But in a 12 team, I don't think I'd bother. Keegan Murray, 15 points, 8 rebounds, a steal, and 2 blocks. Defensive stats for Keegan Murray. Is this college Keegan Murray coming back? Too early to tell, obviously, but encouraging. Played 30 minutes, which was good. Fox, 18, 5, and 6 with a steal and a block. The efficiency was down, and a thing that I was saying about De'Aaron Fox is that last year he shot like 51% from the field. Don't think we can expect that from him this season. He's not going to be this bad, but it is a reminder that he obviously had a little bit to fall compared to last year's value. But again, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, a steal and a block, and still hit 18 points despite shooting poorly is encouraging. We don't need to be worrying about Sasha Vezenkov. He played well, 3 of 6, 2 of 5 from 3, hit 8 points, 2 steals, but nothing else. Don't worry about him. And Kevin Huerta, don't need to worry about him either. 24 minutes despite starting. Malik Monk cut into his time. You know, Chris Duarte, who was potentially going to start 15 minutes. There's just a whole bunch of those guys between Huerta, Vezenkov, Monk, Davion Mitchell, Chris Duarte. They're all just going to eat into each other's minutes, in my opinion. Probably the best one out of them is Malik Monk. He is a player that can put up decent stats in limited time. He's kind of more just a back end, probably more of a 14-team league guy. But if you wanted to have any of them, I think it is Monk. The rest can be left on waiver-wise. Let's talk Utah. And a bit of concern from people early about Walker Kessler. 22 minutes, 8 points, 8 rebounds, 1 block. He shot 80% from the field. So did Walker Kessler things. No assists, no steals, no 3 attempted. Didn't get to the free throw line, which is probably a good thing. But this is going to be the Walker Kessler experience, in my opinion. The next game, he could very easily have 6 blocks and 13 rebounds. That could be what he does. The interesting thing here to me is the 22 minutes, and he was the first player subbed in the first quarter in this game, and he wasn't in foul trouble. They went to a few minutes where they played Olynyk and Lauri Markkanen as the power forward in the center position, which was something that I was a little bit concerned about. So when he's playing 22 minutes and Olynyk's playing 17, Slight concern. It is not anything you need to do anything about. I've obviously had my issues with Walker Kessler in the preseason, and again, that kind of showed up here. But again, don't do anything reactionary. The volume or low volumes categories are going to have volatility. We know this, so he will be better. John Collins. This is my, I guess he could be my guy. I was kind of one of the only people that were somewhat interested in John Collins this season. 15 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. Shot 6 of 11 from the field. Both his free throws hit a 3. Very solid. In terms of the pecking order, he was 3rd in terms of shot attempts of this team behind Markkanen and Clarkson. And I think that that can continue. I think he could even creep ahead of someone like Jordan Clarkson in shot attempts as well. So I think that that is a realistic kind of a line to expect from John Collins moving forward. Yes. Larry Markkanen, 19, 10 assists and 2 steals. The thing here that we want to draw our attention to is the 6 of 15 from the field. Last season, he was a player that obviously blew up. But the field goal percentage was really, really good the first half of the season. It fell off considerably in the second half of the season, but there were also some injuries in the second half of the season. So his attempts and usage went up. With players like Clarkson back, you've added John Collins, you've got Colin Sexton healthy. I think that there's a risk, and I talked about him not being a second, maybe not even a third round player. I think he was an okay third round player in a punt assist build, but again, this re-emphasizes that I do believe that he is a potential candidate for regression this season. Jordan Clarkson did his thing. Really solid game, actually. 24 points, 6 assists, hit 2 threes, and was 50% from the field. So he is fine to be on your team. What about Talen Horton-Tucker, who was the starting point guard for this team? We didn't really learn too much about the guard rotation because between him, 22 minutes, Chris Dunn, 16 minutes. Colin Sexton, 20 minutes. Keontae George, 19 minutes. None of them are really rosterable at this stage. I think of all of them, Horton Tucker is the one you want to have because he is the starter. And this game, whilst not a complete blowout, it wasn't close in the end. So maybe those minutes could have been higher. I just don't think, again, he's not someone that you have to hold on to, in my opinion. I'd probably hold, and if I don't have anything better to add, you know, play it out and watch a bit more, but he's not a must hold at this stage. Let's talk about the Derek Lively game. He was the standout rookie for this team. We'll just talk about him straight away. Derek Lively, 31 minutes, 16 points, 10 rebounds, a steal, a block, 7 of 8 from the field. And to me, I tweeted this out, of all the players that are on a lot of waiver wires right now, Derek Lively to me is the number one priority because, and I know a lot of people are saying Jalen Johnson, and I do think he's a must-add player as well, but Derek Lively to me, out of all the players that are on a lot of waiver wires, has the highest chance to continue to replicate this type of line night in, night out. He did not start, but started the second half, and it was clear as anything that he is the best starting or the best center to play alongside Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. For whatever reason, God knows, I have no idea why, but Jason Kidd started Derek Jones Jr. at small forward just because. Why? I don't know at all. He could very well be out of the rotation next game. I think he hates Josh Green. I don't think he likes Josh Green because, again, Josh Green played really well. 30 points, 11 points, shot efficiently. 30 minutes, I should say. He should be starting. It should be Lively, Green, Luka, Grant Williams, and Kyrie Irving. Like, that should be your starting lineup. You could throw in Maxi Kleber in there as well as like your sixth man and have a little bit of a three-man rotation between Kleber, Grant Williams, and Lively. But for what reason Derek Jones Jr. was out there at the start of both halves, he started the second half as well, I have no idea, and I couldn't tell you why. But Derek Lively needs to be rostered. He can block shots. He's going to get rebounds. He won't be this efficient, but he will be efficient because all he's going to do is just dunk the ball, catch lobs, and roll to the rim. So if you are looking for someone who can rebound, give you field goal percentage and blocks, he is looking like a must-add player, in my opinion, and has a chance to be a top 100 player because we've talked about the lack of center depth in drafts for fantasy drafts. This was a reason Derek Lively was such a good waiver wire because there's only so many starting centers in the NBA and he looks like he could be a good one. Kyrie and Luka did their thing. No need to really talk about them too much. The rest of the Mavs is all really pretty boring. Tim Hardaway Jr., 17 points, 4 assists, a steal, hit 3 threes. He's like a 14-teamer more in my opinion. Probably not really a 12. But someone willing to score on this team outside of Luka and Kyrie, and it might be him. The disappointing thing we saw was, Jaden Hardy didn't play. He's probable to play next game, so we'll see what Hardaway's usage and minutes are when Jaden Hardy is back. But Hardaway, for that reason, I don't think he's a 12-team must-add guy. He's more of a 14-team player. Let's talk about the Spurs, and we'll start with Victor Wembanyama. It was a very disappointing first half, first three quarters for him. He got it going in the last quarter there. Foul trouble was the big issue. He had 5 fouls in this game, and he picked them up pretty early in every quarter. So it was a bit of an anti-climax for Victor's first debut game. But in saying that, if your anti-climax is 15 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, a block, and 6 of 9 from the field and hit 3 threes, then bloody hell, that's a bloody good, bad game right there. So as disappointing as it felt watching the game, statistically, it's still a really, really good performance. And how about Devin Vassell? I think this guy is going to be in for a massive season. I think he's personally clearly a top 50 guy, or will be a top 50 player. 23 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. He only went 1 of 6 from 3. I think you could see that being a lot better, which makes his line potentially look even better moving forward. I think he could have some more assists upside as well. So I really like Devin Vassell this season. Zach Collins, again, another great game. 14 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. 6 of 10 from the field. He is clearly their starting center moving forward. He was questionable this game being sick. Played 32 minutes, obviously nothing to worry about there. Jeremy Sochan is a guy that we all got very excited about once we knew that he was starting, and he put up a good line. 13 points, 5 assists, 8 rebounds, and a steal. Poor from both the free throw line and the field, and that's going to be his thing. I don't like you kind of compare him to like an Asar Thompson or a Jaden Ivey, but obviously slight differences clearly. But he is someone that has his uses, but we do expect him to have poor efficiency from the field and the free throw line, and probably some turnovers. But hit 2 threes, which was nice. So he is clearly a must roster player. Keldon Johnson, solid game, efficient ish. 17 points, 7 assists. We're not going to see that a lot from Keldon, but take it while you can. 9 rebounds. So I think you can definitely have him on a 12-team roster. He's starting. He, I think, will be more efficient in a starting lineup that has players like Vassell and Wemby taking a step forward. Still had the 15 field goal attempts, second only behind Devin Vassell. So I think he's still definitely useful, despite his ranking potentially not being the best. No defensive stats here, but the scoring, probably more efficient than last season. He's not a bad rebounder either, so he definitely has some use as a back-end 12-team player. The thing that I was a little annoyed at was that Charles Bassey, despite Wemby having 23 minutes only in foul trouble, Bassey only played 13 minutes, and he is someone that we always need to keep an eye on just because of his per-minute potential. But 13 minutes in that scenario is not encouraging. Trey Jones, 16 points, 5 rebounds, and 6 assists, 5 of 7 from the field, played really well. No defensive stats, but that can come. So even in a bench role, he's someone that you can have on your roster, definitely. His upside is capped in that bench role, but he is someone that probably needs to be on 12-team rosters. And if you did drop him, I'd probably go back and add him. Hopefully you didn't drop and you at least watched a game, because I think he is someone that can have use, but his upside is probably just capped. But again, any injury to anyone on the starting lineup, and I think he's the one to benefit on this team. So kind of like your D'Anthony Melton-ish type of this season, benefits to any injury and still has some usefulness off the bench because of his assists and steals value. And he shoots efficiently from the field. So Trey Jones, definitely someone you can still have. And hopefully he didn't panic after the news of him not starting broke. One more game. Let's go and talk about the Portland Trailblazers and the LA Clippers. Scoot Henderson, it was rough, man. Like those first three quarters for him, he really looked a bit overawed by the situation. The last quarter, he kind of cleaned up a little bit when it was more garbage time. But it's a good reminder for today, both Wemby, although Wemby wasn't that bad, that rookies are going to have their highs and lows, and especially rookie guards, they're usually pretty bad in fantasy basketball to start. So I think he was like 1 for 7 or something like that, and obviously made a few shots down the end. So ended up with not as bad of a line as what it looked throughout the first three quarters. 11 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 of 11 from the field is not as bad as it was looking. Hit his only free throw. I think he will be better, but he does have some ways to go. And I think he would benefit with Matisse Thybulle moving to the bench, because the spacing out there, when you've got Scoot, Matisse, DeAndre Ayton, Jeremy Grant's not a knockdown shooter either. Like, there's not much spacing out there. So Matisse Thybulle playing 20 minutes. He got his steal. Sharp played 28 minutes off the bench. I think that if I have Sharp, I am being quite patient with him, because I think that during the season, at some point, they're going to make that switch and he's going to be starting there, because you at least need some more shooting around Scoot to get the most out of him. I think he really struggled out there when they kind of just packed the floor and he couldn't really get to the rim in situations like that. So that is definitely one for us to monitor. Anthony Simons, 18 points. He hit 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. You're not going to see that very much from Anthony. And this Portland Trailblazers team is bad, man. Like, they are not good. Speaking of bad, dominated this game with 4 shot attempts. Hit 50% for 4 points. He did have 12 rebounds, 3 steals and a block. I don't know if you can rely on the 3 steals there. 4 field goal attempts, DeAndre. Like, really? Like, after calling yourself dominating in the preseason, you're going to shoot the ball 4 times? No free throws? Oh, This dude, I don't know, man. We'll watch it. It's one game. They got kind of pounced here, but 4 attempts, man. Like, come on. Do something. Just frustrates the hell out of me. Grant. I was kind of down on Grant. 30 minutes, 13 points. It's going to be more Detroit, Jeremy Grant, in my opinion. And with someone like Robert Williams arriving, they did play some Ayton and Williams minutes together. That means Grant might play some more at the 3, which I think limits his already really low rebounds and potentially limits some of his blocks. Something to keep an eye on, but I was not the biggest Jeremy Grant fan this season. Robert Williams had 10 points, 7 rebounds, 3 steals and a block, 5 of 7 from the field. That's a great Robert Williams line. It's a very typical Robert Williams line. So, yeah, I think that is fine. We had 20 points from Malcolm Brogdon off the bench with 5 assists. I think you could do worse than having a Malcolm Brogdon at the back end of your roster if you want some points, assists, and threes. I don't think that he's going to be someone you have to cling on to at all times, but he is someone that could potentially be serviceable. So he is someone that maybe was forgotten a lot of in the preseason. So I think, you know, he is going to play and he is going to be useful. It might be just back-end kind of value. That's pretty much it for the Portland Trailblazers. The Clippers, again, tore them to shreds. Paul George, great game, 27 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, very efficient. Same with Kawhi Leonard, hit all 5 of his 3s, 23 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal and a block. Great game for him. Zubac, 20 points, 12 rebounds, 8 of 10. He dominated DeAndre. Just put up great numbers and 4 blocks as well. He looked really quite good out there in only 26 minutes. So, again, not the most exciting player, but definitely should be on fantasy rosters. Westbrook did pretty good, actually, here. 11 points, 5 rebounds, 13 assists. No defensive stats, but efficient. Looked very energetic. I like the fact that he only took 8 field goal attempts. So he was the, you know, third guy in the starting lineup, so even took fewer attempts than a Zubac. So if he can play that role, he is valuable in that kind of a sense. So that is encouraging signs to me for Russell Westbrook. The rest of this game, you can almost kind of throw out. Bones Highland put up 17 points in his 22 minutes. He is a good per-minute guy, but he's a backup. So Rob Covington, 3 steals, 1 block in 23 minutes. I'm not too excited. Remember that Terrence Mann was not in this one, and I think as soon as he comes back, Covington will move to the bench. So whilst you could have him in a 14-team league, I don't think he is someone you need to climb over anyone to get, even if you're looking for those defensive stats. He's probably someone that we're going to be dropping later on, but it's a solid defensive stat game for a classic Rob Covington line. Well, oh my gosh. That is it, and that will do us... Well, actually, hold on. We're going to go through... Before I wrap up the podcast, I'm getting ahead of myself because this podcast has gone forever. Waiver wire, must-add players. Derek Lively, Jalen Johnson, Xavier Tillman, Kobe White, Benedict Mathurin, Bruce Brown, who we didn't talk too much about, but looked great, played, I think, the highest minutes for the Indiana Pacers in that blowout anyway. Asar Thompson and Emmanuel Quickley all are available on over 25% of Yahoo leagues. Some of them available in lots of Yahoo leagues and more. These guys need to be added. Again, I would prioritize, now they all give you different things. I would prioritize those top four over, well, actually all of these guys need to be added personally. They're all going to be very useful. They have different strengths. So again, figure out what your team needs, figure out who you can drop, but all of these players need to be on every single roster at the moment in 12-team leagues and probably 10-team leagues as well. These players on the screen here, Max Strus, Cam Thomas, Cole Anthony, Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, Jonathan Kuminga, Denny Avdia, and Gordon Hayward are maybe adds. I think you could have a look at them. In most situations, they probably should be on someone's roster. It may not necessarily be yours, but if you can use what they provide, I think that they are worthy of being kind of your top 120, top 130 type value at this stage. And we at least wait and see on some of them, like Kuminga, who we didn't speak about today, but closed for the Golden State Warriors over an Andrew Wiggins yesterday, had some foul trouble in the first half. I still don't know how it's going to look when they're all healthy and Draymond's back, but it was at least encouraging for owners that he started. Oh, sorry, he finished the game with the starters for him and everyone else we spoke about today. And droppable players, again, there's probably more I could add to this list, but just to name a few, Kevin Huerter, Al Horford, Patrick Williams, Quinton Grimes, Bilal Coulibaly is someone you can potentially drop as well. Talen Horton-Tucker, again, droppable, don't have to drop them. You can watch and wait them, but I don't think that their upside necessitates you hold on to them in case there's someone better on your waiver wire. And Gary Trent Jr., the same thing. Again, holdable if you need what he does and there's nothing better out there, but I wouldn't hesitate dropping these players for the players on the must-add list over here. So That will do it for us, guys. Nearly a 1.5 hour podcast for the first big slate of NBA games this season. Let me know down in the comments, how did your fantasy basketball season start? Are you off to a good start? Are you looking good in your first week matchup? Remember, guys, be patient. It is a marathon, not a sprint. And remember as well, to like the video, to subscribe, go and give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify if you can as well. And I will see you guys next time to talk more fantasy hoops. See you later. Bye.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.